أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سن بسنته لوجه الدين، أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we gather once again on this blessed day of Yom Al-Jum'ah to reflect and ponder upon the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ahadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. In our day-to-day life, we face many difficulties, obstacles and hurdles. Calamities, accidents, tragedies, death, and at the same time, good emotions, birth, and marriages and everything else. In our life in this dunya, there are people amongst the Muslim Ummah who may wish to call themselves Hajj or Umrah Muslim. Some who may wish to call themselves Eid or Ramadan Muslim, some who may wish to call themselves Jummah to Jummah Muslim, and so on and so forth, and some who may wish to call the true daily Muslim. We see this in front of our own eyes every day. Different categories, different levels of Iman, different levels of implementation. But without a doubt, every human being, every Muslim, he or she very clearly knows that the mission is one, to get to Jannah. The goal is one, to be successful in this life. So then why this dichotomy, why this dilemma that even the smallest child Muslim and the oldest Muslim would recognize that our goal is Jannah, our mission is to succeed in this life. Then why is there so much a plethora of deficiencies? When it comes to practicality, when it comes to action, we see amongst the Muslim Ummah, whether it's in a Muslim country or Muslims living here in a non-Muslim environment, there is non-implementation of a lot of things. It's as if people are implying in their daily life action that the tenets of Islam are not what they feel comfortable to implement. They have doubt. On their tongues, the Shahada is there. On their tongues, the name of Allah SWT is there. On their tongues, the name of Rasul Islam is there. In their hearts, the love of Allah is there. In their hearts, the love of Rasul Islam is there. But when it comes to practicality, it's as if there is an invisible implication as a not to a non-Muslim that the Muslims are not wholeheartedly into it. They have reservations in practicing. Whereas when we listen to history, when we go to a lecture or a seminar, or we pick up the books of history, we see the lifestyle of the Sahaba, Ridwan Ajma'in, the first generation Muslims. There was no dichotomy, there was no dilemma, there was no difference. Whatever was in the book was in action. Whatever was in the tenets and orders was in the implementation of the city life, the city that we call Medina al-Munawwar. So why 1400 years later we are in this dilemma? And that is the question for today that I want myself and all of us to focus and realign ourselves. That you ask any Muslim, small or big or whatever, they'll say yes, the goal is Jannah. Yes, Islam is the true path. Yes, the tenets have to be implemented. But when it comes to practicality, it is not there. And when we see the previous generations, we see whenever the Muslim Ummah rose to power, it was because of the implementation of what they believed and spoke about, not just lip service. And whenever the downfall of Muslims came, yes, in our 1400 years history, we have some dark sides, some black stains, the dark side of history, where the Muslims were literally ridiculed. If you may call the Tatars, when they came from the east, the Mongolian Empire, the Khans, and they ransacked the streets of Baghdad, as we see today, nothing, not even a pint size is comparable to what Baghdad faced when the Mongolians came rampaging and shedding the blood such that the knees of the horses were sunk in the red ink, or red blood you want to say, of Muslims. The libraries, the masajids were burnt, torched. Qurans were burnt, books were torched, because Genghis Khan believes that if we want to totally deteriorate and devastate this Ummah, burn their literacy, burn the source, the assassin, the foundation of their deen, knowledge. And if you compare the life of Muslims at that time, as Imam Nawawi writes in his book, it was such a dark and bleak point in the history of Islam that even the Mu'arrikheen, the historians like Tabari, their hands would shake to write about that part of history. And it's nothing comparable to what the Muslims are facing today in Baghdad. But the question comes up, where do we rise? Where do we revive? Where do we reunite and rejuvenate ourselves? The answer is in the Quran, brothers and sisters. As always, our answers are always answered by the Quran. If we turn to Surah Ibrahim, Surah 14, verses 25, 26, 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses this very issue that I just gave the introduction about. This very issue discussed over there in the Quran in that ayah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a very beautiful way, in a parable, in a simile, strikes something in our mind. Only for those who ponder and think, who take a moment. It doesn't take a minute. It takes hardly 10 seconds to just sit down and reflect on one word on the ayah, or one instant on the ayah, to think, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? As you know that the uslub, the methodology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the methodology Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has employed in the Quran, is to explain to us things through misal, or mathal, parable, examples. So that once we ponder on the examples, we can digest and analyze the information right away. One of such examples is given about a tree in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتْ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ تُؤْتِي أُكُلُهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions us. Who? Me and you, the reader of Quran. In fact, anyone, whether believer or non-believer, whoever picks up the Quran, reads this ayah, the reader is being questioned by the creator of the universe, the creator of everything. أَلَمْ تَرَى. Do you not see? Now here it does not mean just seeing for the sake of it, through eyes, but means explore, investigate, ponder, think about. As the ulama of tafsir say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is not just asking for people just to have a stare, have a look, oh, I see there's traffic over there. No. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the reader, أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Don't you ponder and think and investigate, explore how Allah has put forward to you an example, a method. And the example is what? مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ كَشَجْرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ. The example of a kalima tayyiba, a goodly word, and unanimously all the scholars of tafsir say that the goodly word here means the kalima shahada, the same very kalima that we recited together, or anyone recites when they enter into the fold of Islam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Plain and simple? Yes. That's what everybody says. Islam is very plain and simple. Say the shahada, brother, you become Muslim, that's it. This is Islam. Well, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to ponder upon. It's not that plain and simple. Where's the exploration? Where's the investigation? Where's the depth? Where's the deepness into this ocean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةُ طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً. Don't you see how beautifully Allah has put forward for you, O reader, an example of this goodly word is a parable of a goodly tree, شَجَرَةً طَيِّبَةً. And then Allah describes not the kalima, but the shajara, indirectly implying that the goodly word, the shahada, is the personification of this tree. Think on the tree. Think on the branches of the tree. Think on the leaves of the tree. Think of the roots of the tree. Think of the existence of the tree. When you think about these things and then equate it to this kalima shahada, your mind and your horizons will broaden and expand. And hence, you'll be enlightened. A mu'min, a believer, he or she is always an enlightened individual. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the next description of that tree, that asluha thabit, its roots are firm in the ground, firmly rooted in the ground. Wa faruha fi sama', and its branches are in the skies. Tu'ti ukuluha, it gives its benefits, its fruits, its dividends, its rewards, as long as Allah wishes to do. And not only that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that the izni rabbiha, with the permission of Allah SWT, gives these proofs, and Allah has given this example, wa yadrib Allah al-amthal lin-nas, and Allah has put this parable example for people, nas, la'allahum yatadhakkarun, so that they may remember and ponder and reflect upon it and think upon it and keep thinking, what is the significance of my kalima shahada with this tree? How can I, where are the roots of this kalima shahada? Where are the branches of this kalima shahada? Where are the dividends and rewards of this kalima shahada? This is the comparison that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to strike over here. And then the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is the purpose to show us that we educate, enlighten ourselves. Just a few moments to reflect upon this tree example, brothers and sisters. Trees are firmly rooted in the ground. They're not rooted in the air. You never see any tree having its roots up in the air. It's always on the ground. You see a tornado coming, the Meteorological Society over here says, if you have a tornado in your city, go to the basement of your building, your house, or whatever you are. Don't stand outside, because you might go away. These fierce blowing winds might uproot you also. Why the basement? Because the basement is not made of wood, but it's solid ground. And even if the house is totally taken off, people who are taking refuge in the basement may still be saved. At the same time, many of these trees get uprooted because of these same tornadoes, and many don't. All because of Allah SWT. Then look at the branches of tree. You take so much benefit. How many of us during these summer months, whenever we go park in a parking lot, we're looking for a tree, a shade. Let's put it underneath the shade, so that when I come back to my car, the seat is not hot. The car is not too warm enough that I cannot even get inside because of humidity. Benefit. You search for benefits of trees. Have you ever thought of a tree harming you? Have you ever come back to your car and after parking underneath a tree that your window is cracked by the tree? Or the car has become dirty by the tree? Have you ever thought about how much time we take refuge underneath a tree? If you're traveling, you're picnicking, you might want to, in a park, look for a tree and picnic underneath it. Meaning we always think on a positive side for a tree. In the same way, this kalima shahada, where are its roots? In the heart. Fi qalbi al-mu'min. The believer's heart is the place where this shahada has to be deeply rooted, firmly grounded. And the branches are our body parts. The hands, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the tongue, the legs. These are the branches of this tree of kalima shahada that is deeply rooted in our hearts. Because if the root is strong enough, automatically the branches will give fruits. And what is the fruit from the branches of our kalima shahada tree? You use the hand for a good thing. You use the tongue for a beneficial, productive word or things. You use the eyes for benefit, for productivity, to earn akhirah, ajr, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get into Jannah. You use these legs, these steps, not to take them to go to a place where it will destruct you and destroy you and cause you to go to Jahannam, but you use these same legs, which are the branches of that kalima shahada tree in your heart, to take to places where it will give you dividend and rewards, just like that tree gives it. And next thing, which is a more deeper point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to strike in our minds regarding this tree and this kalima shahada, is when you think of the existence of a tree, the first thing that comes to your mind is selflessness. Never thinking. How many times do you think the tree thinks for its own benefit? How many times do you see the trees that are grown by Allah's mother's rahmah on this earth is for their own benefit? Every tree is benefiting who? Me and you, insan, makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has made these trees subservient to for me and you, for one of the afdal al-khalq, ahsan al-khalq, that Allah has created on this earth, human beings. Why? There's a purpose behind it. Allah's mother is trying to teach us a lesson that, oh mu'min, I have created you, and for you I've created countless millions of trees in this world to benefit you, whether through photosynthesis, oxygen, fruits, vegetables, benefits of branches, shade, whatever. So if the tree is selfless and working for your obedience, why aren't you, oh mu'min, selfless and working for Allah? This is the deep message of this parable that Allah is giving. That a believer, he or she, is a selfless person, not a selfish, just pick up this point and evaluate 1.6 billion Muslims in the world today. What percentage of this 1.6 billion are selfless people? People who don't care about themselves, the individual, but care for others, for their parents, their relatives, their uncle, aunts, cousins, other brothers, sisters in Islam. How many people work for the sake of the Muslim Ummah? How many people work for the sake of other people, for the propagation of this deen? This is the crux of the issue of the parable over here, the similarity between the tree and the kalima shahada. Because if the kalima shahada is deeply rooted in the heart, just like the roots of the tree in the ground, and the branches are functioning as they have to function, like the branches of those trees, meaning the hands, the ears, the eyes, the mouth, the tongue, are functioning according to the tenets of Islam, automatically it will function. Hence it answers the question we posed at the beginning of today's khutbah, that why are Muslims the way they are today? Where lies the issue? What is the difference? What needs to be done? Obviously, next month, the next khutbah will be part two of this, to talk about the steps that we can firmly and deeply root this tree of shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah, in our hearts. In conclusion, one last point that we need to reflect upon this parable of this tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the tree doesn't just come out of its own. You don't see a tree dropping from the skies, coming down one after another, getting stuck in the earth. What takes for a tree to come and become a tree? Ask those countless people who sow the seeds and then put water, fertilizer, put countless hours, sweat, blood, effort in developing and grooming and nurturing a tree. You don't get trees overnight. It takes time, it takes money, it takes effort, it takes jobs, hard work. So Allah SWT is saying, where is the kalima shahada tree in your individual 6 foot or 5 foot body, O believer? O believer, show me that tree. Show me where have you nurtured that tree. Show me where did you sow the seed of that tree. Show me what did you spend countless hours to groom and nurture this tree. That is the reflective point of this method, this example and parable. It's very easy to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Rasulullah. But maybe for that tree to grow to that level of 50 feet high or whatever, it took 10 years. How many years do we spend to grow this kalima shahada tree in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our existence? How many of us are careful? Meaning, part two of this khutbah, the topic is istiqama fi deenillah. Stability and firmness in the path of Allah Ta'ala. First thing is the need to be established, which we did today, the need for stability. And the example is that tree and that kalima shahada in ourselves. But then, nothing in this world remains sustenance or maintenance without work. Everything in this world needs maintenance, needs stability and firmness. Just look around you and you'll see an abundance of examples. It's very easy to go buy a car. You might work hard enough, save the money you buy. But how hard it is to maintain that car? The oil changes, the tune-up, the brakes, the tires, this and that. Over a passage of time, the amount of time and money you're spending to take care of the car may outrun the expense of the car that you paid initially. You buy a house. How much you need to? The lawn mowing, the snow cleaning, the property tax, the utilities, the cleaning, the caretaking. Look, anything in this world that you, even the clothes, don't you have to clean clothes? Anything, just pick up any example. And you're bound to see that you're spending a lot of time to have stability and firmness and maintain that object. What about kalima shahada? What are we Muslims, 1.6 billion, doing to maintain and nurture our kalima shahada in our hearts?